21. Memor watched Tananarive carefully as their party entered the chamber for the justice rendering. The primate studied the walls and ornamental traces with a quick and ready eye, as though cataloguing all she saw. Quite natural for an explorer, who expected to report back to her superiors. That might well not happen, but no need to give the primate a hint of that. They sat in high rows above the steeply inclined vault. Above them hovered ancient tapestries of gold and ivory, while the funnel at the vault's floor was an ominous jet black. Bimor sat higher than Asenoth, Memor, and the primate, as fitted his rank. He spoke with the hires, even the ice mines. Memor knew, and envied, of course. Though Bimor was her twin genetically, but for those genes that expressed sex, he had been reared to deal with long-term thinking and abstractions at a level Memor had not. Perhaps that explained, Memor thought, the tenor of irritation that crept into his sentences when discussions flagged or failed to reach a sharp point of usefulness. Male traits indeed, she recalled. A clarion call sounded deep and long in the vault. It comprised some high trills, playing against long, strumming bass notes that Memor knew were resonant with the body size of folk, and so it'd be felt rather than heard. Such musics instilled an uneasy impression of immensity and whole-body involvement, a tool persuasive yet hard to recognize. It instilled an apprehensive awe. Tananarive watched and listened, saying nothing. Her eyes darted with quick intelligence. Only her tight, pale lips told of some inner tension. Resonant chords came from the music walls. At a signal, a team of brawny folk strode from the witnesses gathered on the lower level. With prods, these forced each of the Maxer cult members forward, closer to the edge, their legs slipping in the slime. Then at the teetering brink, as a deep voice extolled their violations of the Great Pact. At a second hooting call, the folk thrust the Maxers into the pit. Some flailed in resistance. Others turned with resigned shrugs and jumped. Cries, shouts, shrieks.
"This is a most useful spectacle," Asenoth said mildly. "Well done, too."
The music rose to a triumphant chorus, high notes, rejoicing. Barely audible beneath the sound was a chanting, "Live in this moment. Give in this moment."
"Ritual reprocessing is too good for those who undermine stability," Asenoth said, spitting out the words. "They endanger us all."
"So may we," Memor said, and at once regretted it.
Asenoth shot back. "Not if we exterminate the humans as we have these."
They had apparently forgotten that the primate sat among them, Memor saw. Tananarive's head jerked up for a moment. Then she bowed it, which meant, Memor knew, that the primate had learned some of their speech, had understood Asenoth's remark. These creatures were smarter than she knew. There was a long silence after the ceremony, hanging in the heavy air. Bimor said softly,
"We folk must conquer our own festering anxieties as well. These reprocessings are necessary for stability and for life itself. We folk in our own wide variety, along with the multitudes of adopted, should accept the hard, simple fact that we ourselves and all we encounter are transitory, ephemeral, beings of the moment. We matter little. We should embrace the beauty and pleasure of the world, knowing it will cease for us, inevitably. We are not the ice mines. Such is the order of life."
Memor added her agreeing fan display to that of Asenoth and other folk within range of Bimor's deep bass voice. For her it was a satisfying moment. Bimor could make these matters far more resonant and inspiring than she. Just another sign of his ability range. When they were both young, cared for by their long-dead principal mother, he had early on shown his ability to handle higher-level abstractions and find the nugget of wisdom in passing moments. She admired him. But Asenoth would not let it be. She said,
"These primates do not see such wisdom. They are an expansionist species, such as has been seldom seen in the bowl for great ages. Their ship is maneuvered below range of our defense gamma-ray lasers. Their parties afoot elude us. It is time to marshal efforts to eliminate them."
A pause and vigorous fan rattle.
"Obviously."
Bimor gave an agreeable rainbow flourish with mingled eye frets, but then said soberly,
"There have been, down through the vast generations, uncounted acts to restore stability. All these carried a penumbra of drownings, starvation, sad sickness, massacre, looting, ethnic scourges, laser conflagrations, air-cutting slaughters, assisted group suicides, expulsions into vacuum. The list trudges on."
"You seem saddened by this," Memor said, a bit presumptively, but after all, she was his identical. Bimor yielded on this with an embarrassed flutter.
"I recall when young, you were spared this, my twin, assisting the more militant among us. We walked on corpses, sat on wrecked bodies to rest, stacked them as they stiffened to provide us a momentary table to eat upon. The delay in recycling them into the great soil meant they had to be assembled and even defended against predators both feral and intelligent. But it had to be done."
Memor said kindly in mellow tones, "Brother, I do not follow."
"The bowl grows errant beliefs like mutant species. There were obscure faiths and ethical theories that held the body was some kind of holy vessel whose owners had not yet departed, or else such spirits would require the body, even though rendered into dust, to be made animate again. So they resisted return to the great soil. A true sin."
He looked around at nearby folk, who regarded him with varying displays of doubt.
"You flutter your fan feathers with disbelief, yes, but I have seen this in historical records and even in person. Sad sights I regret witnessing now."
Bimor sagged a bit, as if borne down by history, his feathery jaws swaying.
"Alas, my memory is long, and I cannot erase those laid down with such feeling."
Crowds come to witness now shuffled out of the vault. Other folk dispersed until it was Asenoth, Bimor, and Memor, plus, of course, the primate. Asenoth said,
"Your report is due, Memor. Your hunt for the bandit crew still loose among the Sill continues?"
Memor duly reported finding the late invaders among the Sill. With a quick air display of images, she told of the attack upon the Sill city, the vast destruction.
"Approved by upper echelons?"
Asenoth asked severely. "I ushered it through," Bimor said mildly, eyeing Asenoth but making no feather display at all. Lack of fan signal was a subtle sign of coolness, but Asenoth missed this and rushed ahead, eager with a point to make.
"And they are dead?"
Memor suppressed her usual feather rainbow to convey irked response and said,
"No, I had surveillance auto eyes study the Sill buildings. While they are rebuilding themselves, they involuntarily shape new messages in their forms. This is not a language but a gesture speak. The influence of building style plainly shows a vagrant presence among the Sill, and I deduce that the humans survived the assault."
Asenoth pressed forward with full fan clatter. "So, you failed?"
"I did not command the Skyfish. Those who did not achieve their goals were demoted. But recently one fast-fly craft caught this."
Memor flicked an image into the air surrounding them. A down view showed a primate running between recently shaped buildings. A pain beam rippled over it, and the figure crumpled. The beam stayed on, and the writhing thing kicked and thrashed, and then lay still.
"A single kill?"
Asenoth said with downcast tones.
"We now know we can hurt them at will over distance. My primate here,"
a gesture at Tananarive,
"was our test subject. But I found also that the Sill have secured access to my own surveillance."
Bimor said,
"So the Sill are watching you too?" "I withdrew immediately, of course. In that interval, the primates made their way toward a nearby mirror zone."
Asenoth brushed this aside, pressing on. "Memor, we have not heard your report on this primate of yours. I take it she has been well fed and often exercised?"
Memor puzzled at Asenoth's apparently friendly tone, suspecting something.
"Of course. I brought her here to higher gravities for her health. Her species was clearly not made for lightness. Indeed, their bone and joint structures suggest a world of heavier gravitation than even the Great Plane."
Bimor asked,
"You have read her mind structures enough? Your reports mention this odd character, inability to see her own undermind." "Yes, obviously an early evolutionary step. Imagine building a large, coherent society of individuals who could not know their own impulses, their inner thoughts. Touring her mind was instructive. I got most of what I need.
Asenath fluttered with appreciation. I shall depend upon your ability to monitor this primate. We will need her cooperation to convey our response to their ship's attempts at contact.
Memoir hid her surprise. Now?
Asenath said sternly, We must deceive the Glorians about who commands the bowl. Your primates can do this for us, if properly handled.